All right, with that, let's pray. Let's turn to the Lord in prayer right now, and let's seek the Lord through prayer as we prepare our hearts to be changed by the power of His Word as well. Let's pray together. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord. Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem built as a city that is bound firmly together, to which the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord. As was decreed for Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. There thrones for judgment were set, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for peace in Jerusalem. May they be secure who love you. Peace be within your walls and secure within your towers. For my brothers and companions' sake, I will say, peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord, our God, I will seek your good." Father, we thank you that there is hope for peace because of the Prince of Peace who came into this world. And just as this psalm declares, we pray for peace in Jerusalem today. We pray for peace within the nations, within the Middle East. But above all else, God, we pray for peace within the hearts of mankind, that they would experience peace with God. And Lord, we thank you that because of Christ, we have peace through Christ today. And Father, we ask that you would come and allow us to experience a greater depth of the reality of your presence here within our midst today. We give you thanks that there is always grace available to us. And Lord, we give you praise because you are worthy of it. And so as we enter this holy place, because you are here, we ask that you would do a work of grace, softening hearts, preparing lives to hear your voice, to be changed by the power of your word. And Lord, I want to pray a blessing over all who are here who have yet to know you, that you would ready their hearts to encounter the living God in their lives today. Take us deeper into you today. Lord, let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, Charles Spurgeon was a British Baptist preacher, and he was nicknamed the Prince of Preachers. And during his lifetime, when he lived during the mid to late 1800s, it was estimated that he preached to about 10 million people. That's phenomenal, especially for that time period. He would preach about 10 times a week at different places, and needless to say, he was a pretty busy guy. For somebody not doing ministry in a Korean context, he was a pretty busy guy. So he cherished the rare moments to just hang out with close friends. And so on one occasion, his friend from New York, Theodore Collier, came to England to visit him. And so Spurgeon took Theodore on a walk through the woods, which is also something he rarely had time to do, but he loved doing whenever he got a chance to. And so while they were on this walk, they had a great time talking, laughing, enjoying each other's company and conversation. And in the midst of the laughter together, Spurgeon suddenly said, "Come, Theodore, let us thank God for laughter." So this walk turned into prayer, and their time together turned into walking, praying, thanking, praising, and laughing together in the Lord. And after Spurgeon died, Theodore was reflecting upon this time because it impacted him in such a powerful way. He realized during that brief visit that he had and that brief walk through the woods that Spurgeon was a man who lived in prayer. He learned to bring God into every moment of his life. He learned to live in the place of prayer. You know, the Bible tells us to pray always because prayer is the breath of the believer. It's like the air that we breathe because, like air, it sustains our lives in ways that we can never fully understand with our physical eyes. But like air, it is something that strengthens and sustains our being, and without it, we die. And in the spiritual realm as well, it is prayer that it becomes the oxygen that the believer breathes and is sustained by. You know, the disciples also asked Jesus, "Teach us to pray." And so prayer is something we learn how to do. And so that should be encouraging for us. If you feel that you are still a novice in prayer, if you feel that you are not very developed in it, be encouraged by the request of the disciples when they ask Jesus, teach us how to pray. It is something we learn and grow into and develop. And that's what we want to do today. We want to take another look into the lessons that Christ teaches us in his school of prayer. We continue our series in this new year called First Things First. And at the beginning of each year, we like to do a series on the basics of our faith so that we can always remember what our foundations need to be built upon in the coming year. Today, we want to look at the priority that prayer has in God's kingdom and for God's people. So I want to invite you to open your Bibles today to Matthew chapter 6. We're going to be looking at verses 5 to 15. Part of the passage will encompass what is popularly known as the Lord's Prayer. So because we need to learn how to pray, Jesus teaches his disciples a few important basics of prayer that I want to guide us through today as well. So follow along with me in your outline and your text in Scripture, and we will learn the priority of prayer in God's kingdom. Now, first of all, the first thing that we learn in this passage is that as we learn how to grow in our prayer lives, we must learn to pray secretly. So everyone repeat, pray secretly. Let's look at Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 and 6. This is the word of the Lord. Jesus says, "And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you." So Jesus is telling his disciples the importance of private prayer. Now, why does he do this? Not because public prayer is bad. We need that element in our lives too. But the reason why he stresses secret prayer is in order to keep our motives pure. One of the most important things that private prayer does is that it protects our motives as we enter the place of prayer. Because why you pray is crucial to God, not just what you pray for. Jesus says in verse 5, so don't pray like the hypocrites, right, who pray in order to impress people. They want to show off their spirituality. They want to elevate themselves compared to other people. You know, it's one of the biggest temptations of public spirituality. Doing things to please people rather than for God. You know, it's a temptation that I've seen my whole life as a believer. You know, it's tempting when you begin realizing that people can be impressed by what you do for God. You know, the praying culture of the Korean church is a huge blessing, without a doubt. But being part of the Korean church as I was growing up, I've also seen some of the temptations that come from being a part of a praying cultural ministry. There is a temptation to impress other people. You know, Satan always tries to take a good discipline and turn it into duty or drudgery or even abuse it. You know, for example, you know, there are some attitudes that I've seen growing up that people have towards prayer. That Satan, it is a good thing to dwell and speak to the Lord in prayer, but we have seen how Satan likes to take it and abuse it for his own purposes so that we do not enjoy it or view favorably upon it. These are some of the attitudes that I've seen growing up. You know, some people will have this, you know, if I don't pray, God's going to zap me. Something bad's going to happen today. I'm going to get a flat tire. I'm going to get fired. I don't know. Something bad is going to happen if I don't pray, right? So some people bring that mentality into it. Other people, they have the mentality of, oh, I have to pray. I have to get through my quiet time. I have to do this. Otherwise, I'm not a good Christian. And so we bring this duty, this drudgery element to it as well. And then there's another extreme, those who will say to you, you know, I'm so tired today. You know, why are you so tired? You know, it's been so hard praying over an hour every day. You know, it's so hard on me. Or others, you know, our church is going through a 40-day period of morning prayer, and this is another temptation people have. They'll find ways to bring it into the conversation. You know, it's like, oh, you know, I've been going to morning prayer every day this whole year so far. How about you? You know? Meaning, I am spiritual. Are you? Right? That is the temptation that we have. And so the reason why Jesus stresses you need to learn also how to pray in secret, because you need to protect your heart's motive in prayer. Prayer is important, but so is our motive as to why we pray. You see, what blesses God is a motive of simply wanting to be with Him. That blesses the Lord so much. And that is why private prayer is so precious to Jesus. And that is why we need to see how our day-to-day lives run, and the places where we are alone, we need to cultivate a heart of prayer in those places. For some of you, you may be living with roommates, so it may be the bathroom will be your alone sanctuary. I don't know, maybe even the shower or other places. And so and I know for some people, it is their car. Although for me, that is a place where I need to repent a lot versus pray a lot. But wherever you are, it is learning to understand that I am cultivating an understanding of God's presence in my life through prayer. And so it may be you need to learn in the bathroom, in the shower, that there are seasons where you need to just fall on your knees and express your heart's gratitude, your heart's burdens, your heart's desires, saying, God, no one else knows that I'm here, and that's fine. But God, you know that I'm here, and I desire to commune with you. I desire to thank you for your graces in my life. I desire to exalt you. So you lift your hands, you fall on your knees, and you encounter the living God in that secret place. That is an important element of growing in our prayer lives. That when you know you are alone and no one else knows that you are there, that you intentionally seek the Lord in that place. Another value of private prayer is it not only protects our motives, it strengthens our faith. That is another benefit of private prayer, of praying in secrets. You see, praying in secret, again, as it keeps our motives pure, it will strengthen our faith, because what we are doing is we are exercising our faith to realize our God who is there. You see, prayer brings an awareness of God's presence that we were meant to live in for all the days of our lives. You gain wisdom when you gain awareness of His presence. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and there's nothing like God's presence to give you wisdom to make the right choices, especially when you're facing temptation. And prayer is stepping out in faith, believing that our God hears our prayers. So when you are in the secret place, you are developing your faith because you are practicing the awareness of God's presence and realizing that God hears me. He is near and He hears. 1 John 5:14 says, "And this is the confidence that we have towards Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us." And prayer also strengthens our faith to believe that God is near. Deuteronomy 4:7, one of my favorite verses on prayer, says that what other nation is so great as to have their gods near them the way that the Lord our God is near us whenever we pray to Him? The presence, the sacred, special, anointed presence of God draws near people when they draw near Him, to Him in prayer. There is only gain dwelling in the presence of God in prayer. And the more you linger in prayer, the more His fragrance will rest upon you. So time in prayer is time well spent on earth, and time in prayer is time well invested for eternity. And so Jesus teaches us, if you want to grow in prayer, if you want to develop your prayer lives, one place you need to start with is learning to pray secretly. And then He reveals another element of growing in our prayer lives. So pray secretly to keep your motives pure, but also we are told to pray sincerely. So everyone repeat, pray sincerely. All right, let's look at verses 7 and 8. It says, "And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him." So Jesus says, do not think that your words impress God in prayer. God looks beyond our words and sees our hearts. You see, for in prayer, God listens to our hearts more than our mouths. Look at Isaiah 29:13. It says, "And the Lord said, because this people draw near with their mouth and honor me with their lips, while their hearts are far from me, and their fear of me is a commandment taught by men," then he declares the judgment that's going to come upon the people of God. So God says he's bothered by their worship because it's simply lip service. He says, "I want your words to be an overflow of your hearts. For where there is a disconnect between hearts and our words, it is a form of disrespect to a holy God who knows all things, who knows our minds, our hearts, and our motives. Whenever there is a disconnect between what we are really saying and what we really feel in our hearts, it becomes a disrespect to our God who sees the motives of our hearts. 1 Samuel 16:7, "But the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I've rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things that man, people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the hearts." It is the heart that matters to God. Therefore, do not give God empty words, but learn to pray sincerely. Learn to mean your prayers with your heart. So be honest with the Lord in what you are saying. Don't try to be something or to be at a place that you are not. God knows our hearts, and we need to pray from our hearts. So don't be empty with your words, but also don't be empty with your mind. You see, there is meaning and powerful significance behind the words spoken of in prayer. There is potential for great power when we pray in the secret place and when we pray from our hearts. Prayer allows us to enter into the spiritual realm. Prayer takes us into the sacred place before a holy God in his holy presence. You are in a sacred place, you are in a sacred presence when you pray. For in prayer, you enjoy fellowship with the Father. Therefore, get to know him. Spend time with him. Brainstorm with him. Right? Learn, when you are wrestling with issues, when you need to develop ideas, don't just rely on your own brain power or ideas. Take it to God. Spend time with God in the place of prayer and brainstorm with the Lord. He is the source of inspiration and creativity. There are so many times when I'm wrestling with preparing a message or a Bible story or a talk at the seminary and all these things. And as I wrestle, I learn to take it to the Lord. And when I brainstorm with the Lord, there are so many new things that God will download into my mind and my heart. Time with God is always time well spent. It is never a waste. Brainstorm with the Lord in prayer. Vent to him. In your anger, in your frustration, in your fear, in your worries, whatever you are truly fearing, learn to pray sincerely and vent to the Lord the reality of what is going on in your hearts. And rest in him. In prayer, we partner with God to impact the earth with a force greater than any weapon this world has ever known. You see, prayer is the means that God chooses to release his power into this world. So don't miss out on this incredible experience that you are going through in the place of prayer. Do not rush through it thinking that, man, this is duty, man, this is drudgery, let me just get rid of it, let me just mark this off of my to-do list for today. Do not miss out on the potential of this powerful experience of dwelling with and interacting with the living God. You know, several years ago when I was living in Sydney, Australia, I had a chance to go to the U2 concert. You know, U2 is one of my favorite bands, and so I got tickets, and The way that I prepared for it is also I wanted to videotape like the whole concert. You know what I mean? And so I had, you know, back then before smartphones and stuff, I had, you know, your small digital cameras. And so I bought like extra batteries. I bought like extra memory cards, all these things, because I wanted to relive the whole experience. And so I get there, and so I'm really excited. And so, I don't know, for me, YouTube concerts also are spiritual experiences for me. You know, there are moments when, you know, Bono, the lead singer, he will break out into certain prayers, or he will say scripture, or there are certain moments where he will sing different psalms, or sing Amazing Grace, and it's just a powerful experience for me. And so as I was there, I remember being there and I was so excited and we started singing and it was very much of a family atmosphere because this guy next to me, he was huge, he starts grabbing my shoulder and he starts singing along, you know, and I'm trying to record and so this is kind of going weird. And so I didn't want to say anything, you know, because he was much bigger than me, you know. And so I'm just like, okay, this is cool, you know, hi, do I know you, right? But after he finally let me go and he needed a refill on his beer, you know, I was videotaping, and I wanted to videotape all these things, especially if I knew, you know, some of my favorite songs were coming on, and I wanted to do it because I wanted to relive the experience later, you know, but in the process of recording every moment, I did not fully embrace and enjoy the moments, you know, and so when I got home, and even several days later, and so I was watching the videos again, and so I realized, you know, it was nice that I got these songs full length recorded, but I also realized I was too focused on capturing the moments that I actually missed the moments that was meant to be enjoyed. You know, and it's very similar warning that I hear from parenting books. You know, I'm reading different parenting books and stuff, and there are certain chapters on certain books that will say, you know, be careful taking too many videos or photos of your kids. You know, and I got convicted by that. You know, and they were saying that as great as it is to want to capture every smile and every laughter and every accomplishment, it's sometimes better to fully be there and simply enjoy the moments. So I got convicted. And so instead of taking like 1,000 pictures every day, I'm only going to take 100, you know. So I learned from that. But I realized, you know, there is a similar danger that we also take that mentality into the place of prayer. You know, some of us were so busy with the duty of going through our prayer list. And I've caught myself doing that as well. You know, as I pray for you, as I pray for OEM, as I pray for the elders, the deacons, the praise team, you know, the leaders and pastors' wives and the pastor's children, as I pray through, sometimes, you know, I'd be like, let me get through this list. You know, like, let me just finish. And I finish this long list. And, okay, I'm done. You know, there is a temptation that all of a sudden, instead of realizing that I am in the presence of a living God, being able to bring these people before the Lord so that they would experience a power from on high within their lives through the place of prayer, being released through the power of prayer, instead of realizing what is really happening, I turned it into duty. Let me just get rushed through this. Or we're worried, for some of us, we're worried that, you know, if God's not happy until I pray, you know, God's not happy with me until I do my quiet time for the day, and so we think that we're under the condemnation of God until we finally pray, and then our conscience is relieved. We forget to enjoy what is really happening. We get to fellowship with the living God and commune with Him. And He desires to be with you. He desires to hear from you because He loves you. So enjoy Him. Enjoy your time with Him in the place of prayer. You see, we don't pray to earn God's favor. We pray in order to enjoy God's favor that is ours already because of Christ Jesus. You see, the cross gave us a new relationship with God as sons and daughters. The cross broke the barrier that sin created so we can approach His throne of grace with confidence. And so we need to understand what is happening. And instead of just giving Him lip service, instead of just going through the motions of going through our regular prayer list, yes, we pray for these things, but we learn to pray from our hearts because that is what God is looking at. Amen. So Jesus teaches us to pray secretly. Guard your motive. Watch your motive in the place of prayer. But also to pray sincerely. Pray with your hearts. That is where God places his ear. He does not place his ear in front of our lips. He places his ear in our hearts. That's where he listens. And there's a third thing that we learn in our passage today about growing in prayer. And Jesus teaches us to pray specifically. So everyone repeat, pray specifically. All right, so pray secretly, guard your motive. Pray sincerely with your heart. And pray specifically. Let's look at verses 9 and following. Pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So again, it's important to pray with your heart, as we just learned. We must also pray with our, but also we must learn to pray with our mind that is shaped by truth and Scripture. Why? Because how you pray reveals your theology. It reveals what you really believe about the God that you are praying to. Let me give you an example. You know, let's say if you say that you believe in God and you believe and you sing songs that he is able or that our God is mighty to save, our God can move the mountains. We can say it with our lips. We can sing it with our songs, but it is your prayer that will reveal if you really believe it. You see, if we say that we believe God is able to do all things, all these things, but we do not pray, it reveals our theology is more in line with an atheist or someone who does not give God much credit for being God of all the universe. And for other people, the way that their prayers are prayed, it reveals a different kind of God than that of Scripture. You see, in our prayers, if we beg God and we plead, God, if you're really there, you know, I hope that you just care even about this small God. Please just listen to this one prayer. I know that you're busy. I know that, you know, I'm insignificant, but God, please. That also reveals our theology. Revealing that we think God doesn't really care about our lives. You see, many pray to a God that is not the God of Scripture. And that's a dangerous thing to realize. Because if you are not praying to the God of Scripture, who are you, who are we really praying towards? You see, if you think that he is cruel, he is cold, he does not care... That is not the God of the Bible that you are praying to. So who are we praying to? Jesus reveals the true God in the Lord's Prayer. He reveals that our God is a loving Father in heaven. Our Father in heaven. It shows us that we pray in the context of family and from the place of a child. That is how we are to pray. The Lord's Prayer also teaches us that he is a holy and awesome God. Hallowed be your name. Holy, revered be your name. Praiseworthy is your name. That he is mighty and awesome. Also, he shows us that he is a reigning king. Your kingdom come, your will be done. That he is sovereign over all things. Over all the universe is our God who is king. And the reason why we pray for justice is because the foundation of God's throne is justice and righteousness. So prayers for justice are kingdom prayers. Your kingdom come, your will be done in these dark places as it is in heaven. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Your will of justice in the places where we only see injustice. Those are kingdom prayers, and those are kingdom priorities. We also learn that he is the owner and provider of all things. Give us today our daily bread. Everything belongs to our God. We also learn that the God that we pray to, he is a forgiving God. He is a forgiving judge. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. So we learn that mercy and grace are his and flow from him. Also, we learn in the Lord's Prayer that he is our strong protector and defender. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from the evil one. So our prayers must flow out of the truth of who God is. So what does this passage reveal about our God, the true God in Scripture? It teaches us in the Lord's Prayer that he is a loving Father. He is a holy and awesome God. He is a king who reigns over all the earth. He is the owner, creator, and provider of all good things. He is a kind and forgiving judge, merciful and gracious, a strong defender and protector. This is our King of glory that we pray to. Psalm 24 says, "Lift up your heads, O gates, be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in." Who is this King of glory? Who is this God that we pray to? He is the Lord, strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O gates. Lift them up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? Who is this God that we look to in prayer? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. This is the one to whom we pray. This is the God that when you close your eyes and you focus your attention upon this God in whose presence you are in, this is the God that you must understand in your mind and in your heart that you are praying towards. This is our God. Not a small, indifferent, callous God. Not a God who does not care. He is a loving Father. He is almighty. He is able to save. He forgives. He gives grace. That is our God. You see, only when we properly know who we are praying to can we properly know how to pray. Because when you know the true God of Scripture and you are praying filtered through Scripture, through truth, to that one true God, then we can pray specifically in a way that will impact our lives and the lives of those we pray for. Then we can pray asking for our needs because we know that he cares. Then we are learning how to pray. What do your prayers reveal about the God that you believe in? That is an important question to ask yourselves. What do my prayers reveal about the God that I believe in? And is that the God of Scripture? Are my prayers biblical? You see, in our staff meetings that we have each Tuesday and Wednesday, before we discuss anything, we spend the time reading through a chapter of Scripture, and I have our staff let the chapter that we just read through become the contents of our prayers. Because what I want to do is I want to help our staff develop prayer, but not just develop their prayer lives, learning to pray biblically. You see, these two things are so integrated that in reading Scripture, we need to prayerfully read. But also in prayer, we must pray Scripture. They go hand in hand. And so this is one way that I want to make sure that the leadership of this church and the foundation, before we discuss any church matters, we begin in the place of Scripture, we begin in the place of prayer, and our prayers are guided and governed and grounded in Scripture. Because that's when we are in a place, the proper place, to be guided in our discussion of talking about church matters properly. With wisdom, with his presence, guiding us each step of the way. Amen? Only when we pray biblically and pray to the God of the Bible can we begin praying kingdom prayers. Now, why is prayer such a high priority in God's kingdom? Because prayer is the language of heaven. It is the communication tool of God's kingdom, because all is from him and all flows back to him. When we enter our eternal home in the presence of God, all that we do will be in the context of relating to him. Speaking to him is prayer. Praising him is prayer. And all that we do is going to be in the context of our relationship to him. Prayer is the language of heaven. Prayer declares my need is in God. Prayer declares my hope is in God. Prayer declares that God is sufficient. God is enough. Because he becomes my comfort when I am down. He is my strength when I am weak. He is my provision in times of need. That is why we pray. He is my protection in times of danger. God is enough. Prayer is a priority in God's kingdom because when we pray, we are in the position we were created for. What is that position? We are in his presence, bowed down in worship, in the bosom of his love and embrace. That is the place of prayer. And that is where we were made to live forever. Amen. Let's pray. And with that, let's turn to the Lord into the place of prayer right now. And can we come before him now, thanking God that we have this privilege of being in his presence through Christ. And right now, I want you to, with your eyes closed, I want you to envision the place where you are alone. It could be your office, your bedroom, the bathroom, the shower, whatever. Where is the place where you know, no one knows you are there? And I want you to picture yourself bowing down, hands lifted, seeking the Lord simply because you want to be with him. Let's pray to the Lord right now and ask the Lord, God, speak to me. As you call me into your presence daily, let me respond with joyful obedience to come before you, to seek after you, to vent to you, to brainstorm with, just to be with you. God, let this year of kingdom priorities be one where I place you as the highest priority. And in this year, ask the Lord in prayer even now, God, deepen my prayer life, deepen my intimacy with you, that I will live each day out of the overflow of your presence in prayer. Can we do that right now? Let's pray. Let's ask the Lord to deepen our prayer lives this year. Let's pray together. Pray a blessing to our brother, our sister next to us. If you could just place your hand on their shoulder, and can you pray a blessing over their life for this week and this year? Say, God, would you deepen the sister's intimacy with you in the place of prayer? Would you convict this brother's heart to understand that seeking you first in your kingdom also begins in the place of prayer? And so let's bless each other that even today, even this week, that God, as God draws them to himself through his Spirit, that they will respond with quick and complete obedience to delights and to bask in his presence. Let's bless each other with our prayers right now. Can we do that? Let's pray together. Father, we want to thank you that you give us access to your throne of grace at any time. And Father, we thank you that the curtain was torn through the crucifixion of your Son, Jesus. And Father, we want to thank you that through the torn curtain, you have made a way for us to be with you, to dwell with you, to commune with you, to be in your embrace for all the days of our lives. Father, I pray that you would shatter all the lies and the misconceptions that people have about prayer and you, and that you would restore your true and rightful place and image in our minds and our hearts. Father, I also want to pray a blessing over your children here today. If they have not done so far, let this year be the year where they begin living in your presence. Realizing, God, that you have reserved a place for us in the Holy of Holies to walk with you, to sit with you, to work in your presence, to work our day-to-day work, God, in your holy presence. To realize, God, that there is a table there that you love for us to sit at, to brainstorm with you, to share our hearts, to share our daily conversations with you in that sacred place. God, take people there today. Even now, God, open the eyes of their hearts to be able to see that your presence through prayer is where we were made to live. Not just a few minutes, but God, that is where we were made to live. Take people there today, God. And let people settle there. To lay down their bags, to lay down their burdens, to lay down their homework, to lay down all of their heart's desires at that table before your throne. And may we learn to meet each other there as we intercede for each other. Father, I ask that you would increase the intimacy with you of OEM in the place of prayer this year. May prayers only rise up and increase. May hearts only grow softer and more at home with you. Your presence is not a place to be rushed through, but your presence is to be a place to rest in. And may we do that for all the days of our lives. Now may the Lord bless you with more intimacy with him. The Lord keep you close to his heart, knowing that his arms are daily open for you to run into his embrace. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious and merciful to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, strength and faith, increase joy as you learn to dwell in his presence today and always. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.